of life, a twisted soul where horror doesn't end.
Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Beneath the moonlight, he wanders alone. A solitary figure, a haunting tone. His laughter echoes a sinister...
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned. Hello and welcome back to another square-headed ass episode of Guess What You're Wrong. And as you can see from this picture, where am I at? Here. In this episode, we're going to delve into the depths of cinematic horror today. That's right. We are dissecting a true classic, James Whale's 1931 Frankenstein. Look at that, baby. We always got, what's going on over here? Hold on. I didn't even check this. Woohoo! Billy Reed's in the house already. Marcus Chapman, too. What's going on, brother? So as you can see, we got Boris Karloff in all of his glory over here beside me tonight. Now, this movie actually holds 1931. Boy, I wasn't alive back then. I'm not Stana, but, you know, it holds some. When I was a wee young lad back in the day, watching on Saturday afternoons after cartoons, you know, they always had this creature feature stuff going on. Frankenstein was one of my first movies, boy, when I was 7, 8 years old, I don't know, after watching cartoons on Saturday. Frankenstein was one of my introductions, along with Godzilla and such. Love me some Frankenstein, baby. This is a classic. Let's pop over here to, I don't even have this up. Can't believe I don't have this up. Let me see. I wanted to pop into Frankenstein 1931 for the IMDb so we can get some information on who did what and why and all that good stuff for Frankenstein here. Maybe I can even share the screen. Hold on. Where's my StreamYard? Maybe. Yeah, here we go. Let's share the screen here. So, am I sharing the screen? There we go. I am sharing the screen. Look at that. So, we see that it was directed by James Whale, written by John L. Ball. Now, we know that this book was written long ago by Mary Shelley some time ago. This movie does star Colin Clive, Meg Clark, and Boris Karloff. That's right. This is a spectacular friggin' movie here. Who we got? Never have been much into horror movies. Classics are a different animal. Yeah, that's right, Richard. Some time ago, I decided I was going to dive into a lot of these classics here. I started in the 20s. We did four episodes from the 20s. I've already done one episode from the 30s. This is the second episode from the 30s. Over the last few months, the whole thing's been kind of kerfuffled with my episodes coming out and that kind of stuff. But I am doing this one here. I'm getting it out. It's the day after Christmas. Let's go. But I know it being the day after Christmas, I hope everybody had a good Christmas, a good safe Christmas. Didn't drink too much, didn't eat too much. I hope you got everything you deserved. but let's get into, I did write actually me pop this up here because I did actually write a script for this one. I don't know how much I'm going to stick to it, but let's see. I can't really read what the hell I wrote here. Let's see. So we dive into Frankenstein here. Now, before we dive into the terror, let's set a stage for this, okay? This isn't your typical monster movie, right? Frankenstein emerged from the pre-code era. This is a time before strict censorship of the Hays Code. Now, if you don't know what the Hays Code is, go look it up, because this is before you could actually do, you could do smoochy-smoochy on the TV screens back then. So this meant that also in this movie here, that filmmakers and more, they had more freedom in this movie to explore the darker themes. Excuse me. Darker themes, and they were able to push boundaries and really delve into the gray areas of human existence. And boy, does Frankenstein do just that, I'm telling you, with this here. Let me see here. Drummond son, welcome back, brother. It's good to see you too, Toby. What's going on, brother? Jeff Singleton. I got a mail call coming up here pretty shortly, because I got a box of stuff from Jeff Singleton that I'm going to be delving into pretty soon as well. Now, Frankenstein, at its core, it's a cautionary tale, right? It's about the dangers of unchecked ambition. Dr. Frankenstein played with a chilling... Dr. Frankenstein, who's played with chilling intensity by Colin Clive, isn't just a mad scientist, right? He's a man consumed by a God complex, right? He's driven to defy the natural order, to create life from lifeless parts. Now, but his creation is a grotesque masterpiece cobbled together from stolen body parts, and it quickly spirals out of control. Now, of these stolen body parts, and if you've ever seen this movie, you know that he's got this sidekick, Igor, and he wants a brain. And they've been watching this college professor that has the perfect specimen of a brain, and they're comparing it to the brain of a common criminal. And, you know, Dr. Frankenstein wants this perfect specimen of a brain because he's putting together, he wants to play God, and he wants to make the perfect specimen of a person that he's building here. Now, Igor goes to steal this brain, fucks things up, of course, knocks over the jar that's holding the perfect specimen, breaks it, shatters it everywhere, and guess what happens? He is stuck with Daniel Stevens' brain. That's right, the criminal brain. That's right, baby. Got you there. Now, as he gets the brain back and he starts putting everything back together, right? There's a whole thing is just fucking going on here. Here's where things get really fascinating, though. The creature that is brought back to life, played by the legendary Boris Karloff, isn't just a mindless beast, right? He's intentionally curious. He's curious. He's even like he's childlike. He's innocent. You know, he's an innocent that's being thrust into this world. This world fears and rejects him. It's simply because of his appearance. Now, the sympathetic portrayal of the monster was revolutionary for its time. It challenged the audience to question their own prejudices and confront the fear of the unknown. Daniel Stevens is drain damaged. That's right, baby. That's right. That's how you get a demon brain. So when we look at what's going on in the movie at this time here, then with this, you know, he's brought back to life. You know, it's alive. It's the most quoted part of any movie ever made, along with, "No, I am your father." So from the very get-go, he's brought back to life. And if you look at him through a child's eyes, right, he's got a child's mentality. He's abused. Igor has got the fire and is constantly thrusting this fire in his face. And they know that he's afraid of the flyer, and they're whipping him and they're beating him. And you're like, dude, what are you supposed to, you know, he doesn't know right from wrong. He hasn't been taught this. He's just been brought back to life. So he has no intelligence, level yet. He hasn't even reached, a Bennett level of intelligence yet. So I don't know, where they expect him, they expect him to do at this point, you know? But you know, they're beating on him, and Igor pissed me off. Every time I watch this movie, the way Igor is bouncing around and thrusting that, like bean, that's kind of funny. I gotta say, that's kind of funny. The way Igor is thrusting that fire in his face all the time, I'm just kind of like, motherfucker. You know, I kind of want to go there and just whoop his ass real fast. But you know, it's all part of the movie. It leads you to kind of go in here and feel sorry for this guy, for the Frankenstein monster, the monster himself, because Frankenstein is not the monster. Frankenstein is the doctor that played God. The monster is the one that you feel sorry for, because he's brought back into this world. He has been, with this mentality that he has, he's been thrust into this world, and he's beaten, and he is taken advantage of, and he is made to, you know, we try and look at it through our modern day eyes, and it's even worse. But you know, you look at it through 1930 eyes, and it's just like, holy shit, these motherfuckers are assholes, right? Where'd that brain come from? I'm guessing, Joe, that it probably came from you, or Bennett, one of the two. It came from a college. I was mentioning that earlier, that Igor, they had been observing, it was a college that had two brains. They were comparing the brains, a criminal brain and a perfectly, you know, perfect brain or whatever. So they got the criminal brain instead. But it is what it is. And that's where Boris Karloff played this part. Fucking spectacular, dude. Now, curious enough, Dracula had come out before this, and Bela Lugosi had actually, they had wanted him to play this part, but never actually got to try out for it. And Boris Karloff was seen on set, at the studio backlot or some shit like that. And they were like, hey, you want to try out for a part, buddy? Came on back, and tried out for a part. He got it. So, anywho, let's get on to the next part here. We got now this creature, his innocence is tragically cut short. He experiences a series of heartbreaking rejections and encounters with the cruelty of humanity. The villagers, terrified by his grotesque visage, turns on him with a vengeance. Driven to desperation, the creature lashes out, leading to a tragic chain of events. And this all goes to, you know, the first person I think he really kills is Igor. Igor's in there whooping on him and beating his ass. And Frankenstein's like, nah, I done had enough of you, motherfucker. Let's go. Hangs him up and he's dead. Now, Frank eventually gets out. Not Frank. The monster. Oh, in the lab was pumping on massive vultures. Yeah, I know. I was reading that earlier, too. The monster eventually gets loose, right? He breaks out, gets loose out in the countryside of Germany. Well, actually, this takes place in America. We'll go over some trivia and stuff a little bit here, but this was actually filmed, I believe, in America. I know it was released in America, but of course, now my phone's going nuts. Bastards. Gets loose, and we see this whole time, we see that, you know, keep in mind, he still has, even though he's committed murder, he still has this childlike mentality, right? He's still innocent, right? So we need to, he comes upon, we see this this father and his daughter that are, you know, the father's working and the daughter, he tells the daughter to go play, and the daughter's down by the river playing with flowers. And we see that Frank, the monster, you see, I even keep slipping up calling him Frankenstein. The monster actually approaches the girl kind of curious, you know, kind of like his only experience with humans up to this point has been negative, getting beat, getting screamed at, getting fire thrown in his face and whatnot. So when he first approaches this little girl, first of all, he realizes that she's small. You know, he looks at her hand compared to his hand, and he's like, oh, that's a little fucking weird. All right. And she's like, hey, you want to play? She brings him over and they start playing with flowers, and he's excited. We actually see a side of the monster here that the childlike side. He's happy. He's excited. He's playing with flowers. You know, they're throwing flowers into the water and they're floating. But then he's out of flowers, right? And he wants to see, he still doesn't know right from wrong. He doesn't know what flowers are. He doesn't know what everything is, you know? So he takes this little girl and is like, hey, maybe she'll float, right? Throws her ass into the pond, into the lake here. She doesn't float. Heads up. She sinks and she drowns. So this is actually the one thing that starts the ball rolling with getting some shit happening, rolling towards the villagers not liking him too much. And at first happens, her dad comes into town. Now, well, I'm kind of skipping forward here a little bit. Her dad comes into town carrying her body, her lifeless body, comes to the Burgermeister and was just like, look, a serial killer's loose, or a murderer's loose. They didn't have serial killers back then. A murderer's loose, murdered my daughter. We need to find him. So they put together a posse kind of thing, you know, posse comitatus kind of thing. You know, they're going to go out there and find this guy. But at this point, they don't know what's the monster. I don't think so. You know, that is what it is. Abby, Normal was the name. Yeah. Pretty things float, right? That was the presumption made by the monster. Pretty things float. So, you know, let's see. Innocence, tragic, live. Yeah, we do that. Now, let's talk about some of the visuals here in this movie here. Director James Whale. Now, we're going to get into, he was a true master of his craft, right? He utilized German expressionism, the techniques to create a truly unsettling atmosphere. I think dramatic lighting, distorted sets, and those iconic elongated shadows that seem to dance across the screen. The results is a film that's not just scary and creepy, but it's visually stunning and deeply unsettling. Now, German Expressionists, if you watched or listened to any of my earlier podcasts from my classics from the 20s, I did The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. I can't remember some of the other ones. Nosferatu, you know, these were all done. A lot of the visuals in those were done with German expressionists. You know, a lot of the visuals in that are done with those elongated shadows and all that kind of stuff. So we see that coming from the 20s into the early 30s, those visuals, even though now we're into talkies, you know, we're not in the silent films anymore. Those visuals that we have that worked in the 20s, to create those creepy, horrifying visuals in movies are carrying over into the 30s because they work, right? Why wouldn't they work? Because they're fucking spectacular, baby. Let's see here. Now, Frankenstein, it wasn't just a horror film, right? Let's see, where am I? Do It wasn't just a horror film, right? It was a reflection on social anxieties. The creature, an outcast, a product of scientific hubris, mirrored the fears and prejudices of the time. It spoke to the anxieties of the Great Depression, the fear of the unknown, and the dangers of unchecked progress. Unchecked progress. A lot of the fears that we still live in with today, right? So when you boil that down, you know, we still have a lot of that. We still live with a lot of those fears and all that shit, don't we? So even despite its groundbreaking nature, you know, Frankenstein wasn't without controversy, right? The original ending depicting the creature's fiery demise was deemed too graphic for some audiences. Now, this does highlight the push and pull between artistic expression and societal constraints that characterized the pre-code era. And you definitely feel, you can definitely tell the difference between once we get into movies that were made after the pre-code, the Hays Code, you can definitely tell the difference. There's definitely a huge, huge difference. How do you not feel bad? You have to feel bad for the monster, don't you, Terry? I mean, you know, it's like taking a child. If you look at it in today, if you take a child that is learning disabled, right? A mentally ill child that has mental issues, not able to learn like other children. Maybe has the intellectual capacity of a 2-3-year-old, and you unleash him in the world, right? And an adult body, you know, he doesn't know, the child doesn't know right from wrong, doesn't know the differences of anything. But the child goes out into the world and does, you know, reactionary for whatever reason. The child's out there. How do you not? It's going to happen. Stuff's going to go wrong. Things are going to go wrong for this child. That's why these children should be protected, you know, and taken care of. It's not. It's not just up and let go, you know. Marilyn Harris, that's the one that played little Maria. She was the one that got thrown into the water. Dr. Waldman, Edwin Van Sloan, he was the one that was observing the brains. And Baron Frankenstein, Frederick Kerr, who was Dr. Henry Frankenstein's father. And it's odd because in the book, Mary Shelley's book, his name is Victor Frankenstein. They changed it because they thought that Henry was a little bit more American. Kind of cool, huh? I'm going to head over. There was something I was reading interesting here earlier about this. I'm going to still got it up here. Yes, I do. I'm going to read it directly from the Wikipedia. So 1931, American Gothic pre-code science fiction horror film directed by James Whale, produced by Carl blah, 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 and adapted from the 1927 play by Peggy Webling, which in turn was based on Shelley's blah, 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 or the modern Prometheus. That's not what I wanted to read. What the fuck? I thought I read something here earlier that I thought was interesting. Maybe not. Frankenstein was also inspired by The Golem, a surreal novel based on Jewish folklore and its film adaptation, a silent horror film where, you know, that was one movie that I wanted to cover as well here, but I didn't. I think I have Golem on my list as well, actually. The Golem is a movie that was made later on. I think I have that, or previously. I don't know. I think I have it on my list somewhere. We'll find out, and maybe I'll cover it or not. Immediately following the success of Dracula, Lugosi had hoped to play Henry Frankenstein, Universal's original film concept. However, the actor was expected by producer Carl Lemay to play the monster. Yeah, okay. Look at that. And I get an email out of nowhere. Interesting. But that's it. That's all I really got for this one. I love this movie, Frankenstein. I've seen it dozens and dozens of times. And like I said, it holds a special spot in my heart for mainly because when I was a kid, it was one of my first exposures to some of these classic horror movies. And I even remember when I was in third grade, I had a book called Frankenstein Lives on, was it called Frankenstein Lives on the Third Floor? Let's see, Frankenstein Lives on the Fourth Floor was a book that I had when I was like in third grade or something like that. Frankenstein Moved In on the Fourth Floor. Check it out. It's by Elizabeth Levy. If you got kids that like this kind of stuff, I even bought this on eBay one time, trying to get my kids to read it, but they're like, good book. I'm going to buy it again, to tell you the truth, make them read it this time. But that's pretty much it. That's all I got for this episode of Guess What? Why is my email popping up now? Come on, stop it. Maybe I'll stop this again here. That's all I got for. Let me see what Marsha's saying. Frankenstein Was Alone, kind of classic back then categories. Things, yeah, absolutely it was. But again, that's it. That's all I got for this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Until next time, everybody out there, sweet dreams, love, peace. And chicken grease, baby. and remember, coming up soon, I'm going to be doing a mail call because this guy I met down in Georgia gave me a bunch of stuff to try out. So I'm going to be getting drunk. That's it, baby. Let's get back over here. Hey, y'all have a good night. Love, peace. And one more time, chicken grease, baby.
The bed, his heart beats faster, his mind is fed with blood and gore and screams of fear, a world of darkness he holds so dear.
And that's gonna do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget, you're wrong.
Later, Tater.
Echoes a sinister sound as he dances with shadows on haunted ground. Hornstein, a chilly name, lost in shedding sight. Lost in the movies, from dust to light. Sipping shine is an actor of life, a twisted soul where horror doesn't end.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.